TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. No more destruction of historic Indian villages. The American Indian Spirit Run calls attention to Caltrans and global construction corporations. Some people call this the David and Goliath story. Native Americans, farmers, environmentalists, school teachers, and students, a sizable minority in a small former logging town of under 5,000 inhabitants in Northern California, stand up against one of the most powerful agencies in any state, Caltrans, the California Department of Transportation, and against the multinational corporation behind Caltrans, Hochtief, and its subsidiary Flatiron. Why Caltrans had to go across the ocean to hand taxpayer money to a freeway builder is a mystery. Unless you believe that only the corporation that built the Autobahn for Adolf Hitler has the credentials to do this admittedly very difficult job. The $210 million plus freeway bypass around Willits goes through 86 acres of federally protected wetlands and across five salmon streams, and its 6-mile stretch requires building overpasses, a 1-mile viaduct, rerouting streams, and draining this ancient seasonal wetland. During the first 10 months of operation, the contractor Hochtief and its U.S. partner De Silva Gates have cut a 4-lane-wide, 6-mile swath through the pristine Little Lake Valley, scraping all the topsoil, clear-cutting, bulldozing through salmon streams, and creating massive erosion that sent plumes of silt downstream. And they rammed 55,000 plastic tubes 85 feet deep into federally protected wetlands to wick drain them. To get the permits to do all this destruction, Caltrans had to promise due diligence during construction and what's euphemistically called mitigation, making up for the tremendous losses. The mismatch between what is underway here and the actual traffic needs in this remote area of Northern California is glaring and has been covered in several very informative TV news reports by San Francisco's ABC7 news channel. If not downscaled, which is still a real possibility, all this will eventually feed via a giant freeway interchange into a small, low-traffic, 2-lane highway. Caltrans has manipulated the traffic counts and has outright lied about the need for 4 lanes as required by the Federal Highway Administration, and thereby boosted the scale and cost of the project, greatly benefiting their contractors. A Freedom of Information request discovered the letter by the FHA that stated no 4-lane design was necessary. Residents of Willits formed an organization, Save Our Little Lake Valley, SOLVE, that soon had over 700 supporting members. That's almost 1/6 of the inhabitants of the town. In an outpouring of energy not seen since the days of Redwood Summer, when a sustained effort was made to halt the clear-cutting of ancient redwoods, a new generation of activists did civil disobedience, tree sits, and chained themselves to heavy equipment. While all the violations of water quality, fish and wildlife, the Migratory Bird Act, and wetlands protection, as well as the conditions set by the Army Corps of Engineers, occurred, over 50 arrests were made. The militarized branch of the California Highway Patrol at times ringed parts of the construction site to allow Hochtief, Flatiron, and De Silva Gates to proceed. While civil disobedience continued, in spite of arbitrary arrests of journalists and never-before-seen extraction of tree sitters at gunpoint, an effort was maintained to appeal to regulatory agencies, use the courts to stop or at least reduce the impact of the construction. Agencies issued warnings to Caltrans. However, mysteriously, or maybe not mysteriously, someone in the background was always able to persuade the state senator, the local congressman, the supervisors, the city council, the agencies to not follow up. Meanwhile, Hochtief Flatiron and De Silva Gates were creating facts on the ground. Only the governor of California, Jerry Brown, who supports the bypass, or the lobby of the corporations involved would have the power to supersede the duties of politicians and agencies. Did they use their power? What caused a sudden turn of events is unclear. After Congressman Jared Huffman and the Water Quality Control Board issued statements that they were satisfied with Caltrans' promises to keep their contractors in line, a stunning event happened. On Friday, June 20th, the Army Corps of Engineers temporarily suspended the permit for the Caltrans Willits bypass. The Corps of Engineers regulate impacts on federally protected wetlands. Save Our Little Lake Valley immediately put their proposed solutions forth. Downsize the bypass northern exchange, salvaging approximately half the wetlands the contractors are destroying, and protect and restore Native American sites. Unbeknownst to the environmentalists, who are not allowed to see the maps of Native American archaeological sites, 16 Little Lake Pomo Indian sites had already been bulldozed, which is not only another violation of the law, but an insult to their descendants who are living in the area today. The destruction of a whole village site in September of 2013 was covered up quite literally. The local Sherwood tribe should have been notified by law that the bulldozers unearthed the ancient village of Yami. Instead, the contractor brought in wick drain stitchers and rammed over 1,085-foot-long tubes every 5 feet into the village grounds, and then quickly covered the area with 3 feet of dirt. Then they notified the tribe, claiming that no damage to Yami had been done. 6 days after the Army Corps of Engineers suspended the Caltrans permit, AIM came to town. The American Indian Movement has an ongoing presence since its founding in 1968. AIM West, out of the Bay Area, conducts annual spirit runs, and this year, 2014, the run culminated in Willits in support of the Little Lake Pomo, whose archaeological sites had been destroyed. The spirit runners were welcomed by about 250 members and supporters of Save Our Little Lake Valley, and under the tall shade trees of the city park, we shared a meal and heard speeches and listened to songs with the huge AIM drum in the center of the circle. The first person to speak was Edwina Lincoln from the Round Valley Indian Reservation. She's a descendant of the Little Lake Pomo. Priscilla Hunter, the former chairwoman of the Coyote Valley Band of Pomo Indians, took over as MC and introduced the next speakers. First, here's Edwina Lincoln.
I talked with Priscilla, and she was just overwhelmed of the hurt, the feeling of seeing these big trucks, these big machines just kept rolling over and over after the village site was already identified. They couldn't wait. It was nonstop. I knew what she was relating to. I could feel that same thing. I can feel that connection of that hurt, that loss, and going through genocide over and over as Native people. They keep killing us, and they keep digging us up, and they keep killing us, and they're taking us all over these places. They keep doing that to us. But the day that Polly called me and told me what was happening, it was so overwhelming. It was like I just wanted to tell everybody that overwhelming feeling of beating Caltrans. We were just a handful. And, you know, it's like these little people going up, the big organization that has all the money and all the control. I'm a believer. My Creator's alive. The medicine that He gives us and the path that He gives us to walk and to struggle, this is what it took. It took a miracle, and that's what we're here today with, is because that was a miracle. It was the songs that were sung. It was every single person that showed up there on that site, because we came in unity. We came with the same prayers. We came with that same feeling. No matter what color we were, we all believed that this was going to happen. We can take care of our ancestors. We can continue to protect our land, our water, our life of resources, all these things that our ancestors gave us and protected for us. And now this is where we are. We got to continue that struggle. And I just want to say I'm so thankful for the Environmental Center from Willits. All the hard work you people had put into this. What a blessing to have so many beautiful people, so many of you, all the people that set up in those trees at the very beginning, those that got arrested. But that's part of the battle. And so I just want to say I'm thankful. And I'm really grateful to be able to be a part of this for my ancestors and to feel them and understand them.
Maybe we can have Will come up here to speak for a moment. Will is a great warrior.
Oh.
All he's facing right now is having to pay money, right? He stopped Caltrans for how many days? 11 and a half days. All right.
My name is Will Parrish. I'm part of Save Our Low Lake Valley, and I'm also a journalist. I write for the Anderson Valley Advertiser. And what Priscilla was referring to is that about a year ago at this time, the direct action opposition to the Willits Bypass was sort of in full bloom. We had 8 different tree sits in Willits last year trying to protect different parts of the valley. We had tree sits over there protecting a beautiful oak and madrone grove. We've had tree sits that tried to protect a beautiful alder grove along Hill Creek. Had a tree sit and a beautiful Oregon ash grove on the north part of the valley about a mile and a half this way. Here in Little Lake Valley, there are 5 creeks that come down out of the mountains and converge in the wetlands, the north end of the valley, which form the headwaters of Outlet Creek, which is a mighty tributary to the main stem Eel River. And in order to build the bypass, Caltrans had to get a permit to fill the largest area of wetlands of any area of Northern California in over 50 years. It's one of the highlights of our experience of trying to prevent the destruction of so much of our valley, to have all of you here who have been a part of the run. So thanks very much for your attention, and hope to connect with everybody some more.
Here we go right now with Ellen. She's from the Environmental Center. And I tell you, they've been working on it for what, 20 years? 25 years, right?
My name's Ellen Drell, and I came here to Mendocino County in my early 20s. Caltrans came to town in 1989 with their intent of renewing their effort to build this bypass, which had been put on the shelf since 1962. So they could even build a small-scale two-lane truck route around town. They didn't need to build a mile-long bridge that now obscures the sunset. They didn't need to destroy 40 acres of the wetland at the northern end of the valley and half a dozen cultural sites as well. Caltrans could have built something much smaller, but they were bound and determined to build the biggest thing they could. And unfortunately, they ended up using bald-faced lies to convince the decision makers that there was no other way than a big, fat, ugly, expensive, destructive four-lane freeway. And they lied by telling everybody that they couldn't get any money from the federal government unless it was a four-lane freeway, that the Federal Highway Administration made them do it. And without it being four lanes, it couldn't happen at all. They said that again and again and again. In 2006, Caltrans put out an environmental document where they said everything, all the environmental impacts could be taken care of. They were going to have a mitigation plan. And oh, by the way, there aren't any cultural sites in the way. There isn't a single one that will be impacted by this bypass. That's in their final environmental impact document. And they restated that again in 2010 and in 2011. But lo and behold, last year when they started to construct the bypass, what happened? They started running into cultural sites all along the path. And they covered it up for a long time until about, let's see, it was September of last year that they had to admit to the Sherwood Valley tribe that they had actually destroyed a village site. That's the village of Yami. And that's when a lot of us woke up to the fact that there were lots of cultural sites. And in fact, this area is what one archaeologist referred to as an archaeological district. Well, it's... So, now... We are so happy that you are here. We are so honored that you would put Willits on your run and that you've come from Pitt River and Sacramento and Santa Cruz and Lake County and elsewhere around the state to stand with us and to give us strength to continue resisting this crime, this nightmare, this continuing genocide, this ignorance, this arrogance, this failure to recognize that we are the salmon, that we are the wetlands, that we are the mountains and the rivers and the beauty. When you take on something really significant, and I think we have here, it's more than the Willits Bypass and Caltrans. It's our working to convince our fellow humans that, in fact, we need beauty and richness and biological diversity, and we need each other. That's our task here, and it's big. Together, we can focus our energy in the places where we feel we can really make change. And I would say there are two areas to focus that energy. We have lost a lot here. But we haven't lost everything, and we especially have not lost the opportunity to not give up. And that may be the most important message that we deliver. So, what we want to still accomplish here is to save every archaeological site that has not been destroyed on the bypass route and on the mitigation lands. And that means, in part, looking at where the destruction has already happened and reducing it where we can still save an archaeological site. And, by the way, a salmon and steelhead stream bank in the process. And we also want to reduce the size of the planned northern interchange to something much less, much smaller, much less destructive. And the other stumbling block right now is the governor's office. And we have reason to believe that the contractor is in the governor's office, maybe today, trying to overcome this Army Corps permit suspension. So I want to invite all of you from around the state who have gathered here today to work on arranging a meeting in Sacramento, and all of us together take our issues, which are essentially the same, and make the governor listen to us. So thank you very much for coming.
Hello, I'm Madge Strong. Thank you all for being here. And I am on the Willett City Council. I do not speak on behalf of the city. I was incredibly surprised and pleased that the Corps of Engineers finally suspended the permit. I just got off the phone with Jane Hicks, who's the Director of Enforcement of the Corps of Engineers. She told me that they had been recommending suspending the permit for many months, and they finally did it because earlier last week, they did a site visit, and they determined that 85% of the wetlands that were in the path of the freeway bypass had been destroyed, and only 5% of the mitigation had been implemented at all. They went site by site, and they found out what had been done and what had not been done. They are destroying a lot of things in the process of trying to create wetlands where they don't exist, instead of minimizing destruction of wetlands where they do exist. She also told me, this is Jane Hicks of the Corps of Engineers, that they had a meeting with Caltrans on Tuesday, and they went through the five-page letter, and Caltrans gave their sorry excuses, and the Corps of Engineers wasn't buying those. So their suspension, their withdrawal of the permit is standing. It is not being eroded at this point. The fact that Corps of Engineers has taken a stand, I think Caltrans is going to be forced to see it. There's no way they can meet all those conditions without scaling back the impact. And we, the public, have got to force that to happen, which means pressure on the governor's office as well.
That was Madge Strong, City Councilwoman from Willits. The last speaker was Priscilla Hunter, former chairwoman of the Coyote Valley Band of Pomo Indians. Halfway through her talk, she let Pauline Gervin, former attorney and consultant to the Coyote Valley Tribe, finish her speech.
Gather around, Priscilla Hunter. You know, I have great sorrow in my heart hearing our ancestors' cries as their villages' sites are being destroyed. Again, history repeats itself, where the Indian people are treated with no respect, and government do not care for how the Indian people feel. They recently, illegally, without any Indian monitors present, listen to this. This is very awful. Transferred water line for the cows that the ranchers will be allowed to graze on all those lands in the mitigation areas after the project is done. How cool, what is that, huh? They are more concerned with getting water to cows than protecting Indian cultural sites. Caltrans was forced in consultation with local tribes by the National Advisory Council on Historic Preservation. I don't know if I can go on here.
Polly reads it.
Let me read it.
Go ahead.
The tribes have been deeply insulted by the manner in which Caltrans has come to the table in our government-to-government consultation. In this agreement, they have a clause which references the complete destruction of California Men 3571, known as the Yami Village Site. They call this an unanticipated effect. And another clause, they say the site suffered no adverse impact. I'm so sure. Also, we were told by Caltrans representatives
that this one.
If we disagree and do not sign off on this programmatic agreement, the bus will still roll on. We've sent a letter to the Army Corps because although we are delighted in standing with environmentalists that there has been a halt to the permit, they didn't address Native American archaeological sites when they issued this halt. Because there's a general condition, number 3, of the Army Corps permit granted to Caltrans for the project. And this general condition said that Caltrans had an obligation to immediately contact the Army Corps should they identify any further archaeological sites subsequent to the one they claim they found in 2006 when the EIS-EIR was approved. They never contacted the Army Corps. Well, now, since construction began, many, many more sites have been discovered. This justifies the preparation of a supplemental EIS in order to more properly protect the archaeological sites that are so scattered throughout this bypass area that, as was said earlier, it has been deemed an archaeological district by the State Office of Historic Preservation and by Tim Keefe, their chief top dog, great white man in the sky, archaeologist.
That's not in my speech.
Oh, I'm sorry. We are also calling, as with the Environmental Center, for the downsizing of the Northern Interchange, where there are many new archaeological sites.
The last voice was Pauline Gervin, former attorney and consultant to the Coyote Valley tribe of Pomo Indians. I recorded her and Priscilla Hunter, Madge Strong, Ellen Drell, Will Parrish, and Edwina Lincoln in the Willard City Park on June 26, 2014. Over 250 opponents of the Willard's Freeway Bypass had come to say thank you to the spirit runners from the American Indian Movement. The runners had come to town in support of scaling down the hugely overbuilt and unnecessary freeway to prevent further destruction of Little Lake Pomo archaeological sites. As this program goes to air on July 4th, 2014, work on the Willits Bypass is still suspended on order of the Army Corps of Engineers. Come to the website for updates at www.tucradio.org to see who wins: Caltrans, DeSilva Gates, and the multinational German corporation Hochtief Flatiron, or the protectors of life in the wetlands and of ancient Native American sites and history. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Open the newest programs page and scroll down. This program was produced off the grid with solar power. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations and free as podcast online. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.